In this episode of the Podcast Creators Hub show, we're actually going to be looking at podcast advice that you should avoid in 2023. Okay, they're going to break down this thing. It's five things that I hear a lot when it comes to podcasting. Not always. Some people don't give this advice. And if you've been given this advice, I don't think it's the best advice in my opinion. If someone's told you not to do this, I think they're looking out for you in a good way. We're going to unpack these. They're very much going to reflect the state of podcasting and also my opinion of where it probably is going to go. And we're going to unpack that so that hopefully you'll be able to navigate this and have a successful show, because that's the goal of this. So we're going to be doing that right now.
You're listening to the Podcast Creators Hub with Ash Borland, the show that helps you launch, grow, and monetize your very own podcast. Let's get straight into it.
So, as we said, let's dive straight into it. So what is the first thing that I think is bad advice that is given to podcasters in 2023? Well, actually, the very first thing is have an audio-only show. I think this is just outright wrong, okay? I think it's outright wrong for the vast majority of podcasters. The vast majority of people who are creating podcasts or starting podcasts should not have an audio only show in 2023. Now, let me explain my thought process around this and why I believe this. So the first thing is that for many people, audio only has been around for a long time. Our traditional RSS feed, all of this stuff, and it's great, and I like it, and I don't think it's a bad thing. However, the discoverability of podcasts and the way that and all of this like juiciness that podcasts have right now and how they're growing in popularity is coming off of video. It's coming off of the reach and exposure of platforms like TikTok and platforms like YouTube Shorts and platforms like Instagram Reels. It's coming off of the ability for, like, think someone like Joe Rogan with Joe Rogan Clips. That whole channel was completely built off it on its own merit from that. That was what it was. Joe Rogan obviously has been successful in many things, but many people barely even watch. In fact, now with him moving to Spotify, hardly anyone watches or listens to a full episode of Joe Rogan, but they see the clips. And then that might, and Spotify know this, that's what brings people over to then go and potentially watch the full episode. I've done that. I am not a Spotify user. I don't listen to podcasts on Spotify. But one thing I do is if I see an episode with Joe Rogan that's something I find interesting, maybe I see two or three clips from it, and then I'm like, you know, I'm going to check that full one out. I did it with Mr. Beast. He interviewed Mr. Beast. I went over to it. Video podcast power. That's where that came from. So people telling you not to do it, I think is the wrong idea. Now, why do I believe that you should have, like, well, why do I believe it? Because I think if you're learning to podcast now, and also, by the way, with YouTube podcasting stepping into the space, you know, we literally spoke about that last week's episode, YouTube podcast coming out. With YouTube podcast coming out, that means that you need to be on video. But I also believe that if you are, you know, a podcaster and you're just starting out, the learning curve can be a little bit steeper with video. I get that, but it's not that hard to just whack a webcam on and just start. And it's never been a better time to be able to do it. You can use software like StreamYard, which is what I use for this show. StreamYard I use for my everything on my Podcast Creators Hub channel as of right now is all StreamYard made or Descript for the shorts. And that's it. I tried to do everything in one place. And the reason being is because I want to also demonstrate to my viewers on the YouTube channel what you can do with just, you know, some practice in regards to presentational skills, good preparation. It's pretty much none of my videos are edited. Only actually my shorts, barely, where I put on subtitles. The whole goal for this channel is to demonstrate what you can do right now anyway. I'm sure it'll change as the years go on, but the goal is to demonstrate what you can do confidently on camera in a podcasting scenario. And I think that is something that is hopefully, if you're thinking about and toying with podcasting, if you found this podcast via YouTube, if you're watching the video version of it, or you are listening to us on any of the chosen podcast platforms, then I really would want to encourage you to go into video. And, you know, you can use, I've got tons of content on my YouTube channel for that. There is great channels out there like Live Streaming Pros or Nick Nimmin. If you want to learn how to use, or even like Think Media, if you want to learn how to use video properly, Tom Tom Buck is probably one of my favorites for this, teaching people about the tech side of it for video and for audio. So there are tons of great resources out there that you can use to navigate this space. Don't let the fear of that hold you back. Please don't. That's absolutely just, I just think it's bad advice. And I think it's a lot of the time as well with it, it's because people who give you that advice oftentimes don't understand the video side of it themselves, or they're not comfortable with it, and they just wish that the state of the of podcasting would stay in audio only. But I'm here to tell you it's not staying in audio only. It's moving to video faster than we would like. So jump on board of that wagon. The next one is interviews are best. I think this is not good advice at all. I have literally, I mean, halfway through, I think, or not half, from way over halfway through, I'm about 20 videos left of a 50 video series on the Podcast Creators Hub channel, YouTube channel, for solo podcasts. And that's because, and I actually started, I've started the reboot of this channel with solo podcasts first. And the reason I believe that's the case is because I think that there is more need and more desire for solo podcasts, both from a listener and from a creator, a podcaster perspective. It is more popular now than ever. And so I really do believe, that you're going to find it I think that the idea of like that's kind of, well, let me start that again. I believe that going after the traditional interview show is not always going to be the best thing. And sometimes I think that if someone's telling you to do that, I would encourage you to think outside the box and think, do you want to do, like, there's three main shows, I would say. There is interview show, there is a conversational co-host show, meaning that it's 2, 3, 4 people, however many, speaking each week together, banter together. That's a co-host show. And then there is a solo show. The traditional people always go for interview shows. But I would implore you to very much look at, do you want to do a co-host show? Do you want to banter with somebody? Or do you want to do a solo show? Because these two shows are way more interesting than you think. Some of the best shows out there are co-hosted just to the same people week in, week out. Some of the best shows, like, really are. And if I could, I would have this show like that. I would love to have this show. Like, they're my favorite shows of all. I do one of those, funny enough, with a client of mine, and we do one every week, and it's great fun. I do a solo podcast with interview in it, and then I am a co-host of a podcast as well weekly, and I love them both, and they're great fun, but they don't have to be interviews. And the issue with interviews a lot of the time that I've come up against after doing podcasts for many years, and I've had, you know, shows in the top 20 charts, top 10 charts in the UK, in marketing and in how to, like, I've done that. The thing I find boring about interviews is that they're boring. That's the problem. That when you start to do too many interviews, you start realizing that if you're doing the same thing as everybody else, why would anyone listen to you? And so I often find there's so many interview podcasts about marketing where the same people go around the circuits over and over and over again. And instead, I remember thinking this, like, if you had Gary Vaynerchuk on your podcast, why would anyone listen to your podcast with Gary Vaynerchuk? They won't. They'll listen to Gary Vaynerchuk's podcast with Gary Vaynerchuk. This is the thing that we misunderstand. And I think it's bad advice. I actually believe, if I'm really honest, a lot of the time, most people should start with solo and get comfortable one speaking on camera and into a microphone, and get confident enough to build their reputation as somebody worth listening to. My favorite interview shows are when two people who are worth listening to sit down and talk. They're my favorite ones, which, by the way, is, I think, why something like Joe Rogan does so well, because Joe Rogan's worth listening to, Mr. Beast is worth listening to. The two of them are titans in what they do, so we want to hear what they have to say. Whereas if average Joe is interviewing, as in not average Joe, average Joe is or average Jane is interviewing, you know, some massive YouTuber. Well, I would just go to that YouTube channel. I remember this with mine. I interviewed Ed Lawrence from Film Booth, and I love Ed. I think Ed's probably one of the best YouTubers right now, hands down. I love his content. Check it out if you haven't. But I kind of got a feeling after I interviewed Ed, this was a number of years ago, this was before he blew up, but he was just on the cusp of blowing up. And that was where it hit me, where I was like, I want to sit next to you next time. I want to interview you next time but we both be experts in our field, and me not just be another person going, oh my gosh, you're so amazing. I you know, or not like that, but like, you tell me about how you did this. You don't want that. You want to have this mutual discussion between two professionals. And that's, for me, I think, is the advice that was not given when I started, which is just interview people. I don't think that's a good idea. Always. No, it can be, but I don't always think it's a good idea. And I gave that advice to a friend of mine, Walter Strong from The Huddle, and he switched to solo with some interview, and it's way better. His show is so much better. And he started to build a small community of people who tune in every single week, who hang out in like a group community with him. And it was all because he stopped being the person who's interviewing them and instead became an expert in his own right. And I think I wish more people gave that advice, and they don't. The third thing we have is do not host. I think it's the third one. Do not host with free platforms. So Anchor, or no longer Anchor. I've got to get my head around that now, but it's not Anchor anymore. It's Spotify for podcasters. Some advice that's thrown around about Spotify for podcasters, or Anchor, formerly known as Anchor, is that you'll hear some old school podcasters and they'll go, you know, I don't trust it. Like, I don't. There's a guy on YouTube I've seen a few times this, and it's like, I don't trust it. I'm not a fan of it. Like, I, you know, who owns your content? And I find it quite, again, not dissing this guy, because it's not that at all, but I find it quite hypocritical for a number of reasons. So the first reason I find with this strategy is that YouTube itself is a free hosting platform. So to watch a YouTube video where someone is saying, don't host your platform, your podcast on a platform you have to, that is free and not paid for, but they're telling you that advice on a free platform that hosts content, I think is just paradoxically nonsensical. It doesn't make sense to me. It's ridiculous, in my opinion. Not about the individual, just the thing they're saying. The other thing is, when you look closer with a lot of these, and I remember having this conversation with, actually a very good conversation with a podcast creator who will remain nameless or anonymous in this conversation, but they're a wonderful person. They were chatting to me about this, and they were saying that one of the other creators they knew in this space had done really well because they had decided to talk about Anchor, formerly Anchor, now Spotify for podcasters. And they said that their YouTube channel had got much larger, 40, 50, 60,000 subscribers versus theirs, which was about 8,000 subscribers at the time. They said because they'd made the decision to go after Anchor, whereas this person had made the decision because they actually had a brand partnership with a hosting platform site where they made money from that hosting platform site through affiliates and also a brand partnership. So they'd made the decision to not talk about Anchor at all, which I liked. I liked that because they said, I don't even talk about it. I just don't talk about it because it's part of this brand deal. But, and they also said they believed that was a big impact to their channel because they were unable to go in at something that was obviously the more desirable one, which is the free one, because it's going to get most people in. Which is why, by the way, I have stuff on my channel about Anchor, now Spotify for podcasters. I have the stuff on my channel for that because I believe it's an important thing. I think it's very important that people, especially if you're on a budget. Now, I host with both. My business one is with Buzzsprout, so I pay. And I pay a lot of money because I do a daily show, and I pay money to host it. And I absolutely love what that does. And I would not host my business podcast on Anchor for any reason other than I am able to use Magic Mastering, which means my audio sounds so much clearer. I'm able to, you know, run, you know, pre-roll and post-roll, like dynamic content, so ads, if I wanted to. Hopefully they'll update that to mid-roll, which I think they are doing, but we will find out. And I have more control over that content. There's a lot more stuff I can do as a business owner. But this show is hosted on Spotify for podcasters, formerly known as Anchor. This is where this is hosted. Now, why do I do that? Well, one, because I want to make sure that I know what's going on the platforms. I wouldn't know it was now Spotify for podcasters and formerly known as Anchor if I had not done that change. But I also believe that it's important that the two of them, they have pros and cons. I like that there's some features you can't get. you know, you have to use Anchor to be able to use, Anchor to be able to use those things. There's lots of stuff. But I do think that if you look deep onto a lot of this stuff of do not host with a free platform, I think you're going to find that, you know, you're actually going to find that most people who are saying that either one, don't know. So there's a myth about who owns the content. It's pretty clear you do. But there's also a lot of them have deals with Buzzsprout, Libsyn, things like that. And that's not the company saying don't say that. It's the individual saying that. And so I think if you look deeper into it, you'll find that. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think host with what you need. If you're starting a podcast that is, you know, you're just trying it out. You know, some of these hosting sites sounds very silly, but the cost of a podcast host could be actually, you know, it could upgrade you to have a better, it could be the cost of like StreamYard. And I think if you ask me, you're going to get better use out of StreamYard than you are out of hosting with like Libsyn or Anchor or Buzzsprout or something, who, by the way, I love them both, that you're probably going to get if budget is tight. I would be hosting on Spotify. However, once I'd have, then you can always move it. You can change the RSS feed and move it across. You can. And with YouTube podcasts coming out, be out now, and kind of, this could remove RSS completely. We spoke about it last week. This could remove the RSS completely. So this is something else you have to potentially think about is, in your own, be careful with listening to the advice on that is what I'm saying. I could go on this forever. The next one I want to talk about is, talk about stuff you love. So this is advice that's given, which is talk about things you love as a podcaster, which is true. It's good advice to a point. And I want to just kind of shed a bit of light on why I think this is not that great for 2023. Is that people, if you just talk about the things you love and you don't do the research into where, and depends what you want from this show, by the way. But the way I'm looking at this is, if you want to grow a successful show where people listen to it, that it builds a community, or that it monetizes, or that it becomes a career of some kind, like that type of thing needs to have a bit more research on it. And you need to think, what specifically are you talking about for what reason? For example, my successful show is about mortgage marketing. It's literally a podcast about marketing for mortgage brokers. Is that about things I love? I love marketing, and I used to be a mortgage broker quite a while ago, so I like the two, but it is a strategic move where I understand the topic. I know there is an audience there who needs the information, and I know that there is an audience there that will share that information because they have a culture of listening to podcasts, because it's quite successful. Podcasts do well in the financial services industry because they're driving to appointments and things like that, as well as doing administration, and they listen to the shows while they do it. And then there's also an element of monetization that this audience will pay because it's a business and it works. And there's a utility for them. If they get value out of it, they donate, and they do. They donate on the live shows. They you know, buy my courses. They buy my services. That is not talking about something I love. That's looking at it from a business angle. And I do think that often, people get caught up in this idea of talking about the things they love. And I think this is a bit of a Gary V thing. I love Gary V, I really do. But, you know, he's like, just talk about Battlestar Galactica and everyone will come. And I think that's cool. But it's harder to make it a career. It's much harder to make that a career. It's actually like this show I'm doing now. That was a similar thing when I started doing, you know, the podcast. Like, this is my love. I'm talking about this right now. I love podcasting. This is not my career, because I just my podcast is, my marketing consultancy is my career. And this is just, I want to be able to share the stuff that was able for me to build a successful business off the back of it. I want to share that with you lot. But that is, it's one of these things that I think the talk about the stuff you love, I think it can be a bit too, I love it. I love the idea of it. It's very enriching and empowering. But at the end of the day, people have to come for something that's valuable to them. And I think you have to really do your groundwork and your research and understanding what it is your show is about, what it is you can best serve people. And if there's an audience there, if the pain is high, it's the Alex Hormozy trick, if the pain is high and the purchase power is high and the easy to target is high and it's a growing market, you'll win. And that might not be like me wanting to talk. For example, I used to play a video game called Elder Scrolls Online. I love that game. I haven't played it for a long time. It's got a toddler and there's no chance in like ever that I'll be able to have time to do that. But that's not a massive audience. It's a big audience enough, but it's not big enough to do a podcast around really and make success of it. So I don't talk about that. I talk about this, my other hobby, which is podcasting. That's the type of thing you'll look at. So it's a tough one. But talk about the things you, yes, you need to love it, but there also needs to be some form of value behind it and some form of leverage that's gonna grow you, I believe. Anyway, that's my take on that. Let's talk about the next one, which is make it and they will come. Ooh, I like this one. Make it, they will come, which means, to be completely honest with you, what I'm talking about this is people saying to just do the podcast, focus on doing the show, and hope that the listeners will arrive. They will not. They will not, unless you are a very long strategy if you're going to do this, but unless you are like very new to market, there's a large amount of people wanting to find it, and you've optimized your title to be so good for search and SEO that it works, but very rarely, needle in a haystack, very rarely is that going to be successful. It just isn't. So what you really need to do is find other ways to distribute your content, to find other ways to make sure that your show is discoverable to different people. Now, how do you do that? Well, you go right back to video podcast. Number one, you need to have video, and then you need to be able to move that video content and repurpose that video content across multiple platforms that have a interest-based algorithm. It's going to sound very technical. Please don't, you know, I don't want to lose you on this, but let me explain. The problem with podcasts is that they are very, they are passive in their outreach, meaning we have to very much, as an individual, I have to go and find your show. I have to find the episode. I have to manually subscribe. And then I have to listen, jump into my app. And if I want to listen to a show, I've got to jump into the app, go to my browse section, whatever, or go to my library section, click on it. It takes action. It's very intentional. Whereas so that's not good for new listeners. It's all right for old listeners, but it's not good for new people. So what you want is you want platforms that are interest-based and they are incredibly, passive consumption is the other way. It's not intentional, it's passive. They want them to be passive. Podcasting is not, it's intentional. But passive is what we want, meaning things like TikTok, they throw content in your face. And they think you might like it, and they go, check this out. That's what they do. And that will grow your show because it's pushing out to a lot of the wrong people and some of the right people. And as they get more of the right people, it gets better and better and better and better. And over time, you can build something. YouTube Shorts does the same thing. In fact, YouTube Shorts is even better than that because YouTube Shorts now, if they like the YouTube Short and watch a certain amount of that YouTube Short, there is a very high chance that YouTube is going to recommend a video from you, a longer form video, which is a podcast, because you can just set that into a podcast playlist if you want, but a longer form video from you on their homepage or in suggested. That's going to happen in a week or so within watching that. There's a very high chance because that those things happen now. And so that discoverability is all things that you can improve on, but you can't do that if you just make a podcast and hope they'll come. And I think this is the mistake that many podcasters I've met who are podcast coaches and help people, is that without the understanding, a firm understanding of marketing, which is why I wanted, to be honest, it's the reason I started the Podcast Creators Hub, the core reason. There's lots of reasons, obviously, I started this, and it's hobby, it's a distraction, it's whatever. But one of the things was, I'm not a technical guy with podcasting. I'm not an audio engineer. And that was one of the things I didn't want to talk about for a while. I was like, I'm not an audio engineer. I'm not somebody who knows all about tech and how this stuff works. I get messages from people all the time saying your EQ is off and all that. And I get that. But what I am is a marketing consultant, and I'm an expert in my specific niche. So in financial services in the UK, I am the number one guy. Literally, I am the guy. My podcast is very successful, and I because I coach people day in and day out on how to improve their visibility. And so with podcasting, when I looked at this, I was like, how can I come in and help someone? I can come in and I can demonstrate that the crucial bit that many podcasters struggle with is distribution and marketing. And so that's what the whole my Podcast Creators Hub is built around, like helping people start a podcast. But my expertise is getting your podcast to in front of more people. And that's the thing that comes with, you need to be on video. You need to understand yourself as a marketer, as a media company. If you're going to do this properly and you want to make this a success, be that as a hobby or a business, you need to learn how to promote on social media platforms. And that is not the same as just making a solo podcast and waiting for people, or solo or interview, whatever, and waiting for people to listen. I'm still doing the solo podcast videos. So in my head, I keep talking about the solo podcast stuff, but this is for all podcasts. And so, and this comes down to, like, if you're live streaming it, people do live streaming their podcasts, even just a silly little thing like putting on YouTube helps. Just putting on YouTube and optimizing it for search, understanding a bit of basic SEO, good title, good description. You know, tags don't really matter anymore, but good title, good description, good thumbnail, put it in the podcast section so it's in the right playlist. Just stuff like that is going to help, not let alone doing clips, you know, having points in your episodes where you know you can clip them if you're going to do that, and then having, you know, getting four or five shorts. Like, for me, I would recommend if someone was a podcaster and they wanted what I would say, like, the gold standard of a strategy. I mean, obviously, you can go more than this, but the gold standard of a strategy would be one long-form episode a week, three shorts, three clips. Or one long-form episode a week, four shorts, two clips. Like, you need 7 days is what I would be doing. Now, the Podcast Creators Hub, the goal for this is to be, I think it's 5 videos a week, one podcast episode, 7 shorts. That's my goal. I'm not there yet, but we're getting there. I don't want that to happen every week. So Monday to Friday is a video. Saturday should be a podcast episode. And Monday to 7 days a week, Monday to Sunday should be a short. So that just shows you the scope of how far I want to go with this, to how far I'm pushing my reach. I'm not just making this solo podcast, this podcast episode, which is solo, but it might not be in the future. It might be interview as well. I don't know. They're going to mix it with everything. I think it will be in the future. There'll be interviews and stuff. But this is just not, like, as I said, it's not just about making a show and then wondering why no one's listening. And I have many friends who do that. And they, you know, and there's just, I wouldn't advise that. Start pushing forward. So let's talk about the episode takeaway. Let's break this down a little bit for us now. What do I want you to take away from this? What are the main points that I think you should be thinking about? Well, realistically, let's go straight through them. You got the first one. These are my podcast advice that I think you should avoid. Just to summarize them, we have, do not have an audio-only show. I think that is bad advice when people tell you to do that. Interviews are the best show. I don't think that's a good idea either. We have talk about stuff you love, which I think is not good. I think you need to talk about things that you, one, love, yes, but two, know there's an audience there for. Three, next one is, do not host on a free podcast platform. And that's bad advice. Host wherever you want to host. It's your podcast. If you feel that the budget is, if you haven't got the budget to host on a paid one, go with free. Move over later if you feel the need to. And make it and they will come. Creating podcast episodes and not doing any marketing, I think, is a bad advice. So my episode takeaway is that I would say focus on making the show that you know people like and that you distribute it correctly and that you are very much up to date with what is happening in the space. Don't listen to old school too much unless they are adopting those new strategies. In my opinion, I think that podcasts over time are going to change and morph. I think with what YouTube is doing with YouTube podcasts, I think could change the face of how this thing operates. Because realistically, you know, podcasts have been very spread out, and YouTube could easily centralize that over a number of years to the point where it would be, and they don't seem to want to adopt RSS. So I think that is pretty powerful stuff. And so I would say that be on top of video and using YouTube as the core strategy for your podcast, with distribution on Apple, Spotify, Google, and Amazon as secondary distribution. But I would be very much be very aggressive on YouTube podcast if it was me. So that's today's episode. I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. Be sure to subscribe to the show. If you're watching us or listening to us, and if you're listening to us, come and check out the YouTube channel, which is the Podcast Creators Hub YouTube channel. There's tons of content on there, and it's there designed to help you navigate the world of podcasting. So have a wonderful weekend if you listen to this right now, and if not, have a wonderful day, whatever day you're on.